Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators, part of the Stadium McGill Network and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA is out of Lake City, Florida, a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985, and you give Guy a call at 386-752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate wills or trust, and estate planning. Well, guys, we come to you Wednesday night, fresh off a Gators dominating 20-point victory in Athens. Mike White is now 1-8 against his former team. Dev, how are we feeling after just another throttling in someone's home court?
Hey, it's death, taxes, and Todd Golding killing Mike White. Another great night for Gator basketball, man. You just there's only so many ways you can put it when you just kill people every single time you go out there. 8 out of our 9 wins in conference play by double digits. You got another 20-point win after we went to College Station and won by 19, and then after we went to Columbia, South Carolina and won by 47, and that's after we went to Norman, Oklahoma and won by 27. So it's just becoming the expectation. I mean, every time this team goes out there, I think their ceiling and their level of play is continuing to rise. That's bad news for the rest of the league, and that's bad news for the rest of the country. I said earlier this season that the Gator boys were heating up, and you don't really invoke the Gator boys stay hot until they've earned it. I think this team's getting to the point here. It's, you know, February 11th. We're getting close to saying the Gator boys are hot, and there's no better time for that to be happening than now.
Yeah, and we welcome on friend of the show, now a reoccurring guest, Paul Norris. Welcome, my man.
Thank you.
Did you know, coming off a big win at Texas A&M in front of a record crowd, I think almost 13,000 people, we got a little bit of a homecoming Saturday in the O-Dome with Kentucky and Denzel Aberdeen coming to town. Any worry going into Athens tonight? Maybe a trap game, letdown, anything
no,
like that?
I thought we might come out a little sleepy, just a little bit of a look-ahead game. They're college students still, and you know, you can somehow look at that schedule and you got Denzel coming back. You got a good Kentucky team that's, you know, they've lost a good couple games, but they're going to come in and give your best punch against a national championship rival. But it's so nice to like come in on a Wednesday night and not have to stress about Gator basketball. You know, Georgia made a few shots here and there in the second half where, you know, they went on like a 9-0 run where they made a couple threes. But other than that, it was pretty defensively dominated, and they really couldn't do anything to us. They tried their best to match our physicality, but just couldn't stand up to Ruben and Condon and Tommy and Isaiah Brown. So yeah, it's nice to be able to sit there and just check off another 20-point win versus a rival. They see you next year whenever they're not making the tournament, and we are, and we're going to go try to repeat.
I think it's certainly beneficial to have a guy like Tommy Houck. I believe he had a quote this week regarding the Florida-Georgia rivalry, which obviously has got a much bigger presence nationally football-wise, but still as Gator fans in the college basketball world, we still love beating them in every sport. But having a guy on the roster that grew up a Gator fan, I think he said, I don't like them. I don't think anybody here likes Georgia, and they don't like us. It's just how it's going to be. It's the same thing with football. It's Florida-Georgia, one of the best rivalries in college. So you knew, you know, especially last year, as the defending champs, we lost in that building, despite taking a lead late after trailing by 26. So you knew these guys were focused. It was from the rip. We started the game with a kill shot. That's twice now we've done that in league play. I don't know who's got the metrics of how often that happens. But you just – Todd Golden gets these boys to play every night. I know it's a long season. You're going to have some games where – you're not playing your best, and you're going to drop one or two that you shouldn't have. But for the most part, this team comes to play every night, and we're going to outwork you, out-hustle you, and out-physicality you. So, Dev, anybody stick out tonight? You know, we've been high on Zay Brown. Anybody else or him in particular?
Yeah, Zay Brown, obviously, he's a huge spark. I think he had 3 first-half threes. You get that from a guy off the bench. At one point, our bench guards Zay and Urban were 5 of 8 from 3, which you'll take that every single night if you can get that from your guards off the bench. But I really like the way that Xavien Lee played tonight. He wound up with 18 points, 7 of 14 from the field, hit three threes of his own. Late in the shot clock, you got Boogie, made a three. Maybe that, I mean, he ended up missing one a little later in the game, but that's a big, big moment, I think, for him, if that can get the lid off the basket. We don't need him to shoot 35%, but if he can shoot a little bit better than 15%, then that to just be a threat shooting the ball, every other piece of the roster is really coming together nicely. I really like the way that Ruben rebounded the ball. He dominated the game. You kind of, it's clockwork. You wash, rinse, and repeat. Ruben Chinyelu is going to dominate the boards. And that's despite the kid from Georgia, Surreal, who's the softest 6'11", 265-pound man I've ever seen. You would think that anytime he caught a little forearm to the gut, that he got shot the way that he acted. So credit to our guys for having him, you know, beat up 3 minutes into the game. And then by the end of it, with the way that we rotate guys in and out, the bigs putting body on him for 40 minutes, I think that he was done playing the Florida Gators by the time we got late into the second half. But I will say, we kind of this morning talked about it a little bit, that we were worried going to Athens. You know, this was a team that caught us last year. I think that they came out and they played really hard. And that's something that, you know, we watched 8 years of Mike White basketball or whatever it was. So we know, you know, that Mike White's going to occasionally have the guys ready to play hard, even if they're not necessarily very good offensively. I think you saw that tonight. They came at us, and I think early in the second half, they set a tone that they weren't going to go away. And it took Florida hitting a couple big shots, and I think we did that to pull away. I mean, they cut the lead down to 9 at one point. They got it to 10 at another point. There was a stretch when they cut it to 10 points with about 4.5 minutes left where Xavien Lee hit a three. We get a stop. Boogie comes back down, hits a mid-range jumper. It's back up to 15 points, 3.5 minutes left, and the game's over. So seeing the point guards come out and, you know, you're not necessarily getting a dominant offensive game from the bigs, but having for those guys to be able to put a game away on the road in league play, it's so encouraging, man. It's really, really encouraging the way that they played tonight, and the way that they're kind of building into this back half with a couple of premier homes, Kentucky and Arkansas coming up. There's so much good you can say that you feel like it's been said already. So I'm really proud of the guys.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say enough about the starting guards. When you can get Xavien and Boogie to come out and shoot over 50%, both of them ended up doing it. But even just like combined, to get them both to come out and shoot over 50% with a high volume of shots, we're going to win a lot of basketball games. Not to mention, I think they had 9 assists between the two of them, maybe 7 assists. Xavien Lee had 7 himself and only 2 turnovers. That's absolutely huge for when you go back and look at the losses we've had this season. We've turned the ball over so many times, and it's just been an absolute killer whenever we turn it over 6 times a game. And you go and look that we lost by 2 or 3 points. I mean, it's just absolutely killer for us. Kind of an all-around game. The only place you can really nitpick the stat sheets for us is the turnovers. You have Condon with 7 turnovers, where one of them he threw an absolute rocket pass into about the 5th level. You know, I thought it might have left the stadium for the Odom or the dome for a second. It was ridiculous. But it's so nice to see Xavien and Boogie stepping up on a night where Tommy didn't shoot very well. Ruben wasn't getting much done on the offensive end. He missed a couple layups. In the second half, he started picking it up. I mean, absolute beast on the boards. Unbelievable. But it's just so nice when you can get them to really play up to, you know, what we paid them to do, what they came here to be Gators to do, is to shoot the basketball for us. And it's so nice whenever it actually works out.
Yeah, let's not forget, 5 combined steals out of Boogie and Xavien Lee as well. So not just doing it on the offensive end of the floor, but defensively, I thought Xavien Lee played terrific.
I thought he was great on defense. He went out there with high motor, stayed in front of people, which he's had trouble doing whenever he's running around, having to follow someone off the ball. I mean, he just really went out there. I think it was probably his best game since the Vanderbilt game. Maybe his best game in a Gator uniform is going out there and making really just stuffing the stat sheets everywhere.
It was a weird night for Condon. I mean, he scored 10 points, or he had 12 points, and thought he played really good defensively. He had a couple blocks, a couple loud blocks. But then sometimes when he gets the ball, man, he makes the most inexplicable decisions. Yeah, I mean, you said he threw it out of the O-Dome. He almost threw it all the way to the O-Dome. Like it was a couple of just the craziest passes you've ever seen. And I mean, 14 team turnovers, he has 7 of them. It's just inexplicable that he does that every now and then. But between that and the only other criticism or criticism isn't even the right word. The only other thing that annoyed me during this game was there was a couple stretches where Ruben, I think, lost his fundamentals that he has been so good at this year. He was a little bit out of control when he got to the rim. We missed a bunch of layups kind of early on. There was one particular where it was like he just kind of threw it against the backboard. And that's not something that we've seen from Ruben Chinyelu most of this year. So other than that, he ended up having a couple good moves. He had the one where it was a spin move down off into the lane and pump fake the guy that came to help on the double team and got an easy bucket. So it was good to see him kind of break out of that slump and get out of the old bad habit that kind of reared its head a couple times early on in that game offensively.
You kind of stole my point of the one tough coaching critic we could have is Ruben. You know, after that Tennessee game where he really just took over down low and dominated, I believe he went 7 for 7 at South Carolina. But 3 of his last 4-5 games, he's managed to shoot below 43%, including a 33%, I think went 4-12, and then 37% in another game. So defense are doing a really good job adjusting to him offensively. He's kind of getting out of rhythm a little bit. I don't think he's really getting his feet set, going up as strong as he has that we saw during that 3-4 game stretch where it's like, good Lord, this guy's a first-team All-American, which he still is in all of the measurables and defensive and how he rebounds. But the offensive game has kind of looked shaky a little bit. You know, he's kind of reverted in those – really 3 games, kind of reverted last year. He's just so quick and, you know, really doesn't know what to do with the basketball, what it seems like, even though he's been in so much control in other areas of the game. The offensive touch, it just feels like he's maybe just trying to do too much or
rushing a little bit.
He's rushing, yeah, just not staying composed, which we saw last year a little bit, but certainly not anything to be concerned about, right? But if I would really be a tough coaching podcast, then you know we gotta highlight something.
Tough coaching, but I wouldn't be concerned with it. I think a good bit of it's probably him trying to anticipate the physicality that these teams are picking up against him. I mean, dominated the first half of the year. He's on tape now of this guy. We are not going to let him go one-on-one and take this guy to the basket. Right. If anything, at least foul him and try not to get the call. And so I think it might be just rushing it a little bit there, but very nitpicky, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's hard to criticize much about these guys at this point.
When you're playing good basketball like this, where I've been saying it, I think we're returning to Indianapolis, you know, it's hard. You got to nitpick some things because you can't get too sunshine pumping.
Well, someone we have been sunshine pumping is Zay Brown. I know you mentioned him, Dev, Paul, a little bit as well. We highlighted in Sunday's show after the Texas A&M game, just his efficiency scoring the basketball is, you know, we haven't really seen it until these last several weeks, is how good of a player he is. He's, you know, maybe lacked consistency behind the scenes. But since he's got his number called, I think 16 minutes is almost a season high, 12 points. He had an assist. He was 3 for 4 shooting, a career high. He's now hit 8 of his last 15 from deep. He went 4 of 7 overall. I think he is shooting nearly 60% total from the floor in his last 7 games or so. Really, that was kind of in the non-conference slate. All right, who's going to be that 8th man? When we go on the road, we're in a tight battle or someone gets in foul trouble, Who's that guy going to be? And he's really stepped up. We didn't know if it was going to be Lloyd or Brown or Ingram. And Brown has just really solidified himself as that 8th man that can do a lot. And Dev, you mentioned, you know, the game got down to 9 or 10 points in certain moments of the second half, but it feels like, and even Texas A&M, when they try to hit some threes to get back into it, or Oklahoma in the second half, it feels like we just go and score so quickly to take the life out of the arena. You mentioned the Xavier three and then Boogie mid-range, that five-point stretch. Tommy had one, maybe the first half, a triple, or, you know, early in the second half that kind of got the separation, went from a 9-point game to a 22-point game in a blink of an eye. I think that's where this team excels at. Obviously, this is a game of runs. It's basketball. But how we just take the life out of arenas, too, is it's just so much fun to watch. And we make it in such emphatic fashion, slamming the basketball home or hitting a big-time three in transition. This team can just beat you in such a variety of ways when the three ball is going down. 38% tonight, which might be a season best in conference play. Hell, maybe even a season best in the 24 games we played. I got to look that up, but
only other game, maybe the Oklahoma game. That's
about maybe it. Yeah.
Could be maybe it. South Carolina. Who knows?
There is a point to speaking of Tommy, because he's the guy that you take for granted. 100th straight game today that he started. There was a point, I think it was when it was a 9-point game and he hit the big three that kind of sparked the run that gave us the separation that basically ended the game. I think he was 0 for 6 from the field at that point. And, you know, there isn't anybody else on the team, I don't think, that you'd rather have taking a big three in a spot like that. And whether it's a 9-point game or it's, you know, a 3-point game or you're down by three, I think Tommy Houck's the guy that you want taking that shot when you need the bucket. And he just proved it right. I mean, he could be 0 for 6, you know, all 4 points in the first half coming from the free throw line. And just when you need him early in the second half to turn that momentum around, there he is, Mr. Reliable, to hit the big shot. Not afraid to take the shot, not afraid, wants the ball in his hand with the shot clock going down. I mean, you just got to love the guy. He's awesome.
He listens to tough coaching as well. Ever since we called him out about free throw shooting, he's knocked down his last 15.
Yeah, I don't think he's missed one since we started complaining about him being cold from the free throw line.
Nope.
I would definitely agree that he's probably the most clutch player on our team, and that if it came down to a late game situation, I would want to draw something up to get him the basketball. But like, even on a tough shooting night tonight, he had 5 assists. One of them was that beautiful play where they were in that 2-3 zone and he threw the lob up to hand locked in, absolutely broke the defense that they thought they were going to throw at us. Just being able to do it in a multiple, like a variety of different ways, where even if he's not shooting the ball, because he had a couple in the first half from three that they looked pretty ugly. Just being able to bounce back, drive to the rim, get fouled, make your free throws. It's just so nice to have someone, you know, composed and willing to go take on that contact, to calm everybody down, get everybody a breather, and just show that, you know, we've been here, done that.
There was a point during this game, too, where we were discussing who it is come tournament time, because you know the situation's going to come up where you need a shot to be made. And which of the guards is it that you want taking that shot? I think Urban has been the most consistent shooter throughout the season. But to your point, Paul, I think no matter who it is that actually takes the shot, I want the ball in Houck's hands to make the decision on who to pass it to, or who to kick it to, or for him to take the shot, because the dude just always seems to know what to do with the basketball. And when it comes time to make the big shot, I mean, he's the one guy on the roster that's done it.
Yeah, I agree. He's got a knack for it. And I think, what did Herb go tonight from beyond the arc?
He's 2 for 5.
2 for 5, so now he's 16 of his last 35 from deep.
2 for 4, I'm sorry, 2 of 5 from the field.
Two of four, so 16 of 34 from deep his last 6 games for Urban.
That'll work.
I'll take it. I'll take anything.
With the basketball very well, that's a pretty efficient rate. And with Zay Brown kind of contributing that in those 6 games as well with his efficiency.
And going back to Zay Brown – He shot the ball incredibly today. You know, I didn't really know he could shoot it out there like that, which is nice to know, and nice to know that he could come off the bench and provide that spark. But another underrated moment from the game was whenever they went to that 2-3 zone and he was in the corner, decided to drive the basketball, get fouled, and had that and one right before, I think it was the 4 minute, the under four timeout. Just an unbelievable momentum swing where that's what you want from a guy who's coming in and giving you 15 minutes, five hard fouls, you know, some sort of pulse off the bench. Get up, go drive to the basket strong, draw contact, find a way to the free throw line, anything you can do. So props to him for that.
I think another highlight of our offense and the way we're able to score the basketball despite our limitations maybe from beyond the arc, and we've highlighted this, but another night of over 50% of our made baskets were off assists. 17 assists on 32 made field goals. The one highlighted, I thought, late in the game, we were swinging around the arc. It got late in the shot clock. We find Tommy kind of somewhere around the free throw line and immediately throws a lob to Condon. You know, having bigs like that to spread the floor that can pass the ball like the way that we can, you know, maybe it's not Condo extending the offense with his ability to shoot the three ball, but still the versatility that our bigs allow through their ability to pass that really shows the court as well.
That and their ability to run the floor. I mean, if they even if it's a made layup and we're just getting the ball in right away, or if it's a missed layup, the ability to just run in transition like that. Jimmy Dykes, not a fan, but he was correct about you. We get up the floor in about 3 seconds, and almost every single time there's a dunk opportunity. The way they're able to run the floor, and that's what helps having, you know, three of them to rotate in and out so they're not gassed all the time. But it just makes us so much more dynamic and spread out that it's really hard to guard.
Hey, Jimmy Dykes,
notable listener of the show. He made the Ruben Chinyelu Oscar Tshiebwe comparison that has been a inside joke on this podcast since November. that originated with, I want to say it was Jake Lovelace that started the Oscar Tshiebwe comparisons, followed by Will Norris, followed by Hunter Bedard.
I think I've heard every single one of you say it at some point.
at some point or another, we've all made the Oscar Tshiebwe comparison. And Jimmy Dykes said that he might be Oscar Tshiebwe-ing his way all the way into a SEC Player of the Year conversation. I think he's got Defensive Player of the Year locked up. I think he's got National Player of the Year in his sights. SEC Player of the Year would be quite
my SEC Player of the Year.
He's but the Defensive Player of the Year nationally, I think Jimmy Dykes has even been online voicing his opinion on Ruben. He's talked, I think it's a Kansas game last night, Tuesday night, or Monday night, and he was talking about some of the players on that court. But he said Ruben Chinyelu is just different. I mean, that guy is National Player, Defensive Player of the Year, and he showed it again tonight. Just guy is so consistent and reliable. We're so spoiled. It's next year with a brand new roster. It's you know, obviously we don't have a lot of talent, but we don't have the core that came back after a national title. Hopefully, we do have a few players after our back to back run.
He's grown up so much that even if he's not blocking the shot, he's doing something to affect it to where the player's got to either move the ball a little bit or he's putting contact on him. Something just to affect it. And I've seen so many layups from these other teams that look like they're going out and it's just Ruben sitting down there waiting for the rebound because he knows this guy just missed it. It's unbelievable.
The guards became legends last year. You know, Walt, Elijah, Will Richard, those guys will go down in Gator history. And I think the bigs are becoming legends this year. Condon's much maligned. He's been so much better, I think, than people give him credit for, just because everyone wants to point to the three-point shooting and all that. But Ruben Chinyelu, Tommy Houck, Alex Condon, all three of them are just – we got to appreciate what we have, because I think it's going to look very different next year with a brand-new roster, with a bunch of brand-new guys. Especially after these 3 years of getting to watch these guys grow and develop and become just the awesome basketball players they are, that are going to lead us to a second straight, hopefully deep tournament run. So just been a joy to watch the way that these guys have developed and been built Gator basketball back to where it was supposed to be, that Mike White kind of ruined. So just an awesome run of Gator
basketball. Batman's gone. We don't need to talk about him anymore.
Anything else to highlight from tonight, or we can get into a little bit of Kentucky talk with the Cats coming to town Saturday in the O-Dome.
Let's talk Kentucky.
All right. Well, they're kind of, you know, Florida's been blowing out teams, and we've taken control of the league 9-2. You know, we've won 9 of our last 10 after the league opener loss at Missouri. Kentucky, it felt like a completely different story just 3 weeks ago, it feels like, right? And they're winning in a much different fashion. They're coming back from 15-point deficits. I think they did that twice against Tennessee. I don't know how much the Vols led in Lexington last Saturday, but it was a good amount. And the Cats stormed back. They had to come back against LSU.
I think they have 3 wins this season in games they trail by 15 points.
So Tennessee, LSU, and Tennessee again, possibly. So they're maybe not getting the notoriety they deserve just because of how their wins have been. But a big one, first place on the line in league play. They're 8-3. We're 9-2. I don't know what the tiebreaker, obviously they'd have it over us, but, you know, I don't know the other metrics. So, Paul, what kind of love are you going to provide on Valentine's Day to Denzel Aberdeen when he gets introduced to the starting lineup?
Absolutely none. When he comes into the O-Dome, he's a traitor, you know, quit on the program, all this stuff. You know, when he's putting on that Kentucky jersey, if you're not a Gator, you're Gator bait. And so I hope we beat them by 30, if not 40, and run them out of the gym and hopefully never have to see them again.
Benedict Aberdeen.
Has anybody else watched any other Kentucky games, really? I mean, it's hard enough to
watch. I've gotten into a little bit. I've watched a little bit of it. They're kind of a funny team. I mean, obviously they have Otega Owe. He was like preseason SEC player of the year. And he's going to score. He's going to get his points. And realistically, they're kind of a funny team where they go down 18 points in some of these games, and they're able to come all the way back. But then they follow it up at Vanderbilt, where they put on an absolute stinker of a performance. But then follow that up by going at Arkansas and winning by 10, 12 points. So they're really up and down. I think they were kind of like us, where, you know, you're kind of all gelling together and trying to figure out your identity. But as long as our guard play plays like they did today, I don't see them being able to hang around with us. I think our front court's going to give them a lot of trouble, especially with Jaden Quaintance not being able to play. I think he's still hurt. He might be out for the season. I'm not exactly sure on that, but I think our front court will give them a good bit of trouble. I like the Gators big.
Yeah, we're in the O-Dome. I like the Gators at home. I know that Auburn kind of snuck in and nabbed us a few weeks ago, and the further into the season we get, the less sense that game makes. But, yeah, it's Kentucky. You know, they're going to be talented. You know, the O-Dome's going to be juiced up, are going to be ready to play. And I just don't think that their style of play and the way that they've won games this year, I don't think that is a good matchup for them coming into the O-Dome. The way that we play, if we get up by 15 points on you, if we get up by 20 points on you, that lead's going to grow to 25 or 30, especially in Gainesville. This isn't the type of team. We've given up 2 kill shots all season. It's not the type of team that you want to get down or have a stretch where you're not playing good basketball, because we've become a team that avalanches you and can go on a run in a hurry. And that's only, you know, exasperated and made even worse for you if we're making threes. So you can flip the coin if we're going to shoot 38% or 28% from three on Saturday.
Beat them anyway.
But either way, it might not matter, because the way that we play basketball, they can't get down 15 or 20 points on us.
I completely agree with that. And Georgia really showed it today too, where they got down 20, and a couple teams have, where you cannot – against this team, you really cannot come back from 20 against us. I mean, Georgia cut it to 10, but immediately then we go on a 6-0 run to get it back to 16. I mean, we just have every sort of counterpunch once we're up. I don't see them coming back from down 18. Now, knock on wood, of course.
Yeah. They got down by 22 I think 22 is our biggest lead of the game. And they were playing harder than us in the second half. Like there was stretches in the second half, I thought, where we were getting out hustled. You know, they were getting the long rebounds and the funny bounces off the rim. And it took them everything they had to cut it to 9, to cut it to 10. Yeah. And then it was just, you know, systematic, you know, two possessions, two stops for us, two big shots by, you know, the one that keeps coming to mind is the Lee and the Boogie stretch. So that's the point, though, with the way that we play defense, the way that we're able to stop runs with transition offense and with picking up pace, you know, and kind of picking up pace when we want to, and then slowing it down and being under control when we want to. I really think that this is a bad matchup and at a bad time for Kentucky. As good as they're playing, they've won 4 in a row. Coming into Gainesville, I think that this is a game that Florida doesn't lose.
One last thing I will say is, you know, they're coming off of – they have the bye week this week, so they didn't play a Tuesday or Wednesday game. Got some extra rest. We came out fired up against Alabama, but Auburn we came out and slept walk. So can't have any of that. Got to come out, you know, your rivals coming into your dome after you just won the national title. They're going to be fired up and ready to play. Denzel's going to have them fired up and ready to play, as, you know, weird as it sounds, but he's going to have them ready to come out there and say, let's go kick some butt. So Todd's got to fire the boys up.
You know, and Florida looks like to be the team that runs this league. Todd Golden's a coach that's going to dominate this league for the foreseeable future. But there's one team he has struggled with, and that's Kentucky. 1-4 in his career. Last year, even the defending champs lost in the Rupp Arena. I know it was a league opener where Todd struggled. So a lot on the line here. Just kind of solidify yourself as that top program in SEC basketball. Kentucky's been that face for as long as Hoops has been around in this conference. And this is really a kind of a time period where Florida can kind of make it, you know, take that top spot moving forward. And, you know, we're the premier program in SEC basketball from, you know.
That's a good point. This is the first time they've been in Gainesville in 2 years.
Yeah.
I know that the Gator faithful will be fired up to welcome Mark Pope's version of the Cats to Gainesville for the first time.
They're lucky I won't be down there Saturday. I'm so disappointed I won't be there, but I know Dev, you, Paul, and everybody else that'll be in attendance will do a great job making sure they feel welcomed in Gainesville.
There won't be any go big blue chance. Just it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Couple hours. Yeah,
that's actually a pretty good point. Usually Kentucky, even you know, especially during the Mike White era, but even the Billy Donovan era, when you went to those Kentucky games, a lot of Cats came down for this match.
You got to hand it to them; they travel well when it comes to basketball.
Well, they don't really have any other sport, so this is their Super Bowl everywhere they go. So hopefully the Gators do a good job of, if there are any resales, we're buying them. And it's a large majority of Gators inside.
Well, I checked Ticketmaster right before we got started. It's over $200 a pop to get into the O-Dome on Saturday. So it's not your Mike White, Florida, Kentucky basketball tickets anymore. This is a serious basketball program that is a hot ticket in Gainesville.
Well, good stuff. You boys, you guys have fun Saturday in the O-Dome. Just another great win tonight for Golden and the boys. Chin and Lou described it best at the end, belt to ass. I just love how he, you know, gets the crowd going on the road. Ollie gets an appearance for the third time in his last 4 games in league play, which is remarkable. It just shows you how spoiled we are at this moment if he's getting playing time and, you know, making contributions in the stat sheet with a rebound.
Stuffer, yeah.
You know, getting on the floor, big fella.
I know.
So we want Ollie chance.
10 seconds left. He's putting the body on the line.
Yeah. What was that, Dev?
The "we want Ollie chance on the road" never gets old.
No, it's just fun. It's great to be a Florida Gator. We'll see you guys again Sunday, hopefully after a big time Gator victory at home. And you know, right now we sit atop of the SEC standings, so it's great to be a Florida Gator.
That's right. Hey, Gator baseball season opener this weekend against UAB too.
And Gator Invitational. A lot of good teams coming to Mark Bostic for that. Usually. If that aligns with the home Gator basketball game, I'll hit that in the morning. Got to see the year we won the national championship, saw Ricky Castillo and all those boys before we played Vanderbilt. So I encourage you, anybody listening, if you're in town for hoops, go take a – they're also giving away some sweet
golf
team Gator gear. Yeah.
Yeah.
So go cheer on the boys before walking over to the O-Dome and have maybe a few beers walking Mark Bostic for you. You go give the cat some hell. Well, we'll catch you guys again Sunday. Make sure you like, subscribe on YouTube, Apple, follow us on Twitter at BreakfastWTG. We appreciate the support as always. Go Gators.
Thank you for joining us, Paul.
Yeah, thank you for having me.